we present the News Quiz with your host, Sandy Toksvig.
Hello and welcome to the News Quiz. We start with a story from the BBC News website, read by Peter Donaldson.
Three Chinese reporters attending a police briefing on the success of an anti-gun campaign have been accidentally shot.
And our thanks to Malcolm Butler of Berkshire for sending that in. Now, let's meet the teams. Will you welcome first on my right, Francis Ween and Maestro Sue Perkins. And opposite them on my left, Jeremy Hardy and Andy Hamilton. Francis, whose party was ruined by an early exit?
Oh, it's the Labour Party. They had a conference in Manchester, and it was all going so well. Because Gordon Brown, before every party conference that I can remember, has always said the leader has to make the most important speech of his life. And he always does, and he succeeds. And Gordon did it by getting Jackie Wilson singing higher and higher. And he leapt on, snogged his wife at great length, live on television. And apparently this was a great success and has saved his leadership. I think the main thing that saved his leadership, actually, is he stood up and said, "This is no time for a novice." Apparently, at times like this, what we need is a hopeless old has-been. And he's just the chap. And he, and everything was going well. And then at 3 o'clock in the morning, in a bar in Manchester, his people organised a press conference to say that Ruth Kelly was resigning.
And, but why did they do it at 3 o'clock? Do we know why it was at 3 o'clock in the morning?
Well, there are lots of conspiracy theories. The Brownites said the news had been leaked by the hated Blairite people who were plotting all the time. And the Blairites said, no, it was the Brownites trying to discredit Ruth Kelly because she was thought to be a bit of a Blairite.
Isn't she upset because of the stem cell thing? Because he refused to give stem cells the vote?
Yes. But it's quite uncanny. She's not that successful or popular, which is why she's having to pack it in. But if you look at Sarah Palin, identical in every possible way, you know, sort of anti-abortion, anti-gay, difference being that Ruth Kelly isn't packing heat. She doesn't go around toting guns.
And as far as we know.
No.
Can I just say that you've mentioned Sarah Palin there, and she's such a welcome addition to the News Quiz. We've got this little welcome for her. It is like satire karma, isn't it? Ruth Kelly leaves and Sarah Palin arrives.
Yes. It's the scariest thing of all. In the coverage of Ruth Kelly's resignation, there was a throwaway line mentioning that before she married this man Gad, with whom she has thousands of children, she went out with David Miliband.
No. Yes, she did briefly.
Did you know that? It said she and David Miliband were briefly an item years
ago. That's the only way to go out with David Miliband.
Which is really astonishing. Idea. What a coupling. Blimey.
He got his comeuppance this week, didn't he, really, David Miliband? It was not a good week for David Miliband, because he broke that cardinal rule of politics, that very old adage, which is never be photographed holding a banana when you already look like a monkey.
Yes, indeed. This is the Labour Party conference where Gordon Brown's rallying cry was ruined by the mysterious 3 a.m. resignation of Ruth Kelly. I liked it when Gordon Brown says, I didn't come to London to join the establishment, and you so want him to say, I came to join the chorus line of Chicago. Sue, who's given up on the election and why?
This is to do with McCain. The word McCain, obviously, incredibly reassuring in print when it's on a bag of low-fat crinkle-cut chips. However, when seen on a piece of paper with the leader of the free world next to it, it tends to cause a little bit more anxiety and indigestion. And I think what happened was him and Obama had agreed they were going to go to Washington and in the spirit of bipartisan friendship. And he basically then announced to the world's press that he was doing it all by himself and made Senator Obama look like a bit of an idiot. And he's gone off now to try and sort this out.
Obama actually said something to the effect of, well, this is no time for politics. You think, what? Christmas dinner is no time for politics. Oh, let's not spoil the collapse of capitalism by bringing politics into it. But Obama's going to do it on his own, isn't he? He's just going to debate with himself.
Will Palin come along?
Well, I guess.
She's gone to New York. She's gone to the United Nations to meet some foreigners. Part of her training. And except I think she must take her guns because she heard there was this bear market on Wall Street and she thought, I don't want to go to bear market.
Can't you live and I'll get it?
We have to be really careful here, you know, because I don't know if you remember when The Guardian got everyone to write in all those letters to the American people urging them not to vote for Bush. And all the fine liberals of London wrote and prompted a massive backlash, which probably won Bush the election.
I love the idea of the news quiz having any effect whatsoever. Yeah.
I think if McCain and Palin do get in, everyone's going to be really careful around McCain, aren't they?
Yeah.
No surprises. Yeah. Don't ring him up. Yeah, send him a letter.
Yeah. She'll be throwing young interns at him, won't she?
They keep saying her huge appeal to the Republican right is that she's the pro-life candidate. But every picture of her, she's got a gun and she's blasting away. She looks like Rambo. She's the love child of Sylvester Stallone and Anne Widdecombe. It's a...
She thinks that the world is only 6,000 years old, isn't she?
Yeah. She's right about that.
We do jokes older than that.
The answer was about Republican candidate John McCain, who has suspended his presidential campaign to join the effort to rescue the US from financial crisis. Do you think they'd have had more chance if they'd picked Michael Palin? I mean, at least he's travelled.
At least he knows where places are.
Yeah. Right, 2 points.
It's quite noble to take a step back, though, from and sort of put your slide in the polls on hold like that, isn't it? Brave of him.
Yeah.
Nice man. He does seem quite nice. That's a terrible thing about McCain. Oh, because he looks a bit like someone's granddad.
Yeah.
But why didn't he?
I know, he thinks the nurses are stealing his clothes.
The killing thing has made her fantastically popular, though. And you've got to ask, what kind of person adores a woman for killing a moose other than someone who has been jilted by a moose?
Mm. 2 points, Miss Perkins. Jeremy, why has a new French Revolution caused a shift in power?
Edf is our new service provider. They knocked on our door and they said, hello, could you tell us where you get your gas and electricity from? And they said, oh, I think it's British Energy at the moment. They said, and do you know how much you pay for it? And they said, not off the top of our head, no. And they said, would you like us to take over your gas and electricity supply? And we said, could you just leave us a leaflet? No, I'm sorry, I cannot leave you a leaflet, but everybody else on your street has signed up, and you're the only one left. And if you join us with EDF today, you'll get a free nuclear reactor. And that's what we've got. Because suddenly they're good because it doesn't generate so much carbon dioxide. So we're going to get all these new nuke reactors built by the French, but it will be owned by EDF, which is owned by the French government, which is quite good because it means we are nationalising our power industry, only it's not our government. That's the only, that's the only bit that's a bit sort of wrong. But and the nuke bit isn't so good.
French nuclear power is likely to be more sophisticated than our nuclear power, though. They won't overcook the protons quite so much as we do.
They don't just have lots of little bitty meltdowns. They have 3 sit-down meltdowns a day with wine.
You knew they were French, because when they were asked about the delays in building reactors and the problems they've had, according to The Guardian, EDF simply shrugged them off.
Yes. And you just... that is their sales slogan, buff.
The French state-owned company EDF has taken control of Britain's nuclear industry with its £12.5 billion purchase of British Energy. Gordon Brown described the purchase as crucial for Britain's long-term energy security, while Nicolas Sarkozy described it as revenge for Agincourt. 2 points to Jeremy. Andy, who may be succeeding where others have failed to act?
Yeah, this is about... Well, the really good news is that they're going to change the rules governing the monarchy to reflect modern Britain. So, because at the moment, you can only succeed to the throne if you are a Protestant male dullard. but they're going to change it so that anyone, in theory, can be even a Danish person or a French person.
Thing. It's nonsense. Been next thing, you'll be saying they could be German.
So it's a long overdue reform, but I'm not sure when they're doing it. They've announced it.
Well, that's the big problem with it. They said they hope to introduce this legislation in Labour's fourth term.
Right.
After the election. So
it's to allow women and Catholics to become...
Ruth Kelly's coming back.
Yeah, exactly. She's going to be king.
That's why what was his name, the grandson who married the Canadian, Autumn Kelly? She had to renounce her Catholicism.
His grandson, Peter Phillips.
Peter Phillips, that's right. Peter Phillips he married the Canadian Autumn Kelly.
Autumn Kelly?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. She's called Autumn Kelly, and she renounced her Catholicism so that he could retain his right to the throne.
That's one hell of a coach accident, isn't it, for him to...
The government is considering an overhaul of the constitution to allow Catholics and first-born females to succeed to the throne. Not only would Catholics be able to ascend the throne, but female children would have equal rights with males. This means that William would succeed his father, even if he became a Catholic, married a Catholic, or had a sex change.
Bring it on.
If William had a sex change, would he carry on growing bald?
What?
I don't know. I just like
that.
That's
a bit of a tangent you've gone off at.
Do you think he'd have luxurious kind of lady tresses?
Yeah, do you think?
Yeah.
And be queen.
Oh, I'd like that.
Suddenly I see his future.
I don't think it grows back just because you have your tackle off. I don't think it works.
I'm telling you, it does.
No, I'm telling you, it doesn't.
And at the end of round one, I can tell you that the scores are Francis and Sue have got 4 points, but so have Jeremy and Andy. Two with a story from a free London newspaper.
People who procrastinate tend to be less healthy and less happy, according to Professor Piers Steele from Calgary University, whose study into the matter took him 10 years to complete.
And our thanks to James Holloway for sending us that. Sue, why should some kids be spending more time on the couch?
This is the chemical cosh. This is the outcry, the National Institute of Clinical or Health and Clinical Excellence.
Nice.
So the people with attention hyperactivity deficit can never get to the end of it. Bored the hell out of me. They said that they're overprescribing, basically, to kids, and kids can be calmed down in a variety of traditional methods. For instance, putting night nurse in their morning porridge, I find, works an absolute treat. You don't hear a peep out of them until around about 2 o'clock. And it was a fascinating article that went on at great length, 4 or 5 columns. I got probably 2-3 sentences in, and then I thought, oh, look, there's some puppies for sale. I've got 3 dogs already. I don't need Nikita. It is, after an attack animal. What I do with it? It's vast and very difficult to control, but I might like, oh, look at the way the light falls upon those leaves. Is it dark now? Oh, I seem to be in my pants alone. Why? But it's to do with, you know, the advancement of pharmaceuticals in the management of troubled youths, and people saying it's all got out of control. Grr.
It's not, yeah. Is it?
What?
It's not that at all, is it?
Yes, it is, yeah.
But the way you were looking at her, I thought, God, it's going to be that headmaster in Kingston who says that the children at his school do 4 hours homework a night, but he feels this may be too much because it's preventing them just doing normal things like enjoying themselves and, you know, maybe settling down for a good nature documentary on the TV. He just doesn't know these children very well. If he doesn't give them any homework, they'll be watching nature documentaries. But
I know what I'd choose between Ritalin and Springwatch with Bill Oddie. I know which one.
Are there some bad side effects of Ritalin? I mean, doesn't it include stunted growth? Actually, you seem unusually placid this evening.
Right. I wasn't going to... You know what? I wasn't going to... The producer said, read this out, Ria. I said, no, it's not kind, but I'm going to now. It's a cutting. It's Sandy Toksvig Knight. Do you know about this?
No.
You got a knight. Sky Arts, another week, and another celebrity hijacks Sky Arts schedules. Tonight's a turn of comedian, broadcaster and Sunday Telegraph columnist Sandy Toksvig. Her night kicks off with a series of very short films.
A lot of the Ritalin drive comes from the middle-class parents who just can't accept the idea that their children are badly behaved, because working-class parents just realise that their children are badly behaved or may have ADHD. It is a real thing that some people have, but huge numbers of middle-class children are just diagnosed with it because their parents just can't believe that their children are naughty. So they say, oh, well, he's just bored because he's very bright, you see. He's very bright, and I think the teachers aren't stretching him properly. You see, he's not being stretched, and that's why he's so much brighter than the other children. I think that's his problem, and that's why he sets fire to them.
Nice, the National Institute for Clinical Excellence has recommended nice. That most children with ADHD should be offered psychological therapy instead of Ritalin. Parents have been warned to look out for classic symptoms of ADHD, which include impulsiveness, hyperactivity and wanting to appear on Britain's Got Talent. Right, 2 points to Sue. Jeremy, what's gone out? Not with a bang, but a whimper.
They had this thing, what's it called, the particle accelerator, CERN in Switzerland, and we had Big Bang Day, and they sent Andrew Marr there, and I turned on the radio, I was in bed, and I thought, oh, remember to set the alarm for 8:30. And nothing much happened. What happened was they all opened champagne because, you know, the light came on when they plugged it in. That was all that happened that day. And, you know, they didn't recreate the split second that's supposed to have happened after time began at all. They just turned it on, and then now it's busted. Mm. And a ton of helium leaked out, which must have made it the most enormously fun place to work. What's going wrong with the machine? I don't know. It's broken. All the helium is leaking out of the machine.
I don't understand particle physics, like everybody else on the planet.
Do you want me to explain it to you?
Yeah. They're firing protons through a tunnel.
No, but they smash tiny little particles against each other. You've got to imagine Gordon Brown's competence hitting his popularity. It's just 10 days after it was switched on, the Large Hadron Collider at Geneva has been shut down. Because of a helium leak, the LHC will remain closed until next spring due to the leak caused by an electrical fault. You see, they weren't thinking that through, were they? Because you know when the chap at the till said, do you want the 3-year extended warranty? So 2 points there to Jeremy. Andy, why does banging on about birds get you more chicken feed? More than chicken feed.
Oh, we know this, Andy.
Do we?
We know this, yeah. Sexist men get paid more.
Oh, yeah, because I wasn't thinking like a sexist. And I wasn't thinking the word birds because it's a while since I've watched any of my Confessions of a Window Cleaner collection.
Plus, you're looking at Sandy thinking, pretty little thing, aren't you? Could you bring a cup of coffee by any chance?
It's a story of women like men bosses. It's that one.
You can actually have an extra point for that because that is true. Women feel more stressed if they have a female boss than if they have a male boss. That is absolutely
really?
True.
Yeah.
Look at me,
that.
I'm a husk.
Yeah.
Answerable to that.
Yeah.
Danish tyrant.
I just read the bit. There's one bit that said men with traditional values earn more, but women with traditional values don't earn so much. You think, well, yeah, if you're a woman and you think your place is in the home, you're going to be late to work quite a lot, aren't you?
Well, apparently last week the Conservative Party estimated it will be 187 years before women are given equal pay to men, although, you know, obviously they'll delay it more if they can.
That sounds like a manifesto, doesn't it?
Well,
it will be.
I've long said, Sandy, that you should be on the same money as me and Jeremy, but I mean, and Jeremy said the same, haven't you? But you know, they said it would set a dangerous precedent.
We've been fighting.
We don't
your
mind
corner.
About the money so much. We just object to being called sugar tits. It's really.
Well,
see,
Jeremy's
that's
got
the bit
Tourette's,
I like.
He can't help. Again, we've gone off a bit of a tangent.
We have. According to research by the University of Florida, obviously got nothing better to do, sexist men earn on average £4,600 a year more than their more enlightened counterparts. It's just a convoluted way of saying, aren't builders expensive? At the end of round two, Francis and Sue have got 8 points, but Jeremy and Andy have leapt into the lead with 9. Before we start round three, here's an advert for the Wolverhampton show.
Amazing acts, giant fun fair, rabbit show, Saturday only, butcher's demo, Sunday only.
And our thanks to Graham Sedgley of Market Drayton for sending us that. Francis, have a listen to this.
Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
Francis, what will soon be exuviating recrement in an absturgent ritual?
Oh, is this something about dying words?
It is.
They're carting off dead words.
Mm-hmm.
The dictionary's got too cluttered. And to make room for all these exciting new words, like collateral debt, swaps and short selling and Sarah Palin, they're getting rid of frubsy and...
Frubsy is such a fubsy, good rather. Word, isn't it? It means short and squat.
Yes, I did notice that one, yeah.
Frubsian.
Just don't go there.
In my head, an image of John Prescott, honestly. Do you not think we should nominate words that we could live without? I could do without lint. Does nothing for me.
Some words just die out naturally, don't they? They would just die out like bank. People say, do you remember the word bank? Do you remember those big places? They used to have some money in. Do you remember those?
Well, in that very film with supercalifragilisticexpialidocious, Mr. Banks. The terrible crash.
There's a run on the bank, yeah.
The little boy says, give me back my money.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's a satire. People don't watch it the right way. They think it's a, they think it's a whimsical musical.
Prefigured Northern Rock by decades.
Yeah.
It is fantastic, though, to hear George Bush accused of socialism. I never thought I would live. Couldn't they save words by putting them in a special zoo and then when there's enough of them, they reintroduce them into the language? So.
You can vote to save them. I think that's what they'll do. They have sort of public auctions.
You like it when the public have a say in who's best, don't you?
That is what they're doing.
Never mind the orchestra who actually know about these things. Let's ask the public who haven't got a clue who's a good conductor or not.
There is going to be a chance, though, isn't there? If the words appear 6 times in print or broadcast, then they'll be saved.
Yeah, we can save them by using them.
You can save words just by saying them now, Sandy.
OK, I'm going to save...
Fubsian, what was it?
Yeah,
Fubsian.
Fubsian, 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 they're saved.
What a wonderful thing. It's like believing in fairies.
Yeah.
In order to make way for an influx of new words, the Collins Dictionary is shedding hundreds of words which have fallen out of favour, such as British, summer and capitalism. So 2 points to whoever I asked the question to. It was Francis. Sue, what's putting the crunch into credit?
This is the unstoppable rise of the turnip.
It is.
People said it could never last, the love of turnips, but here it's back again. Yes, it's a credit crunch vegetable, apparently. It's found a new lease of life. It's a recession root, and you can do lots of different things with a turnip. You can fry it, you can boil it, you can slice it, you can look at it for a bit, you can play handball with it. And whatever you do with it, you'll be left with the incipient taste of fart in your mouth. And people love it, and they're very into eating all kinds of cheap things. So pig's trotters back on the menu. And I applaud it. I've done nose-to-tail eating. I've eaten... I think I'd be hard-pressed for you to suggest something that I haven't eaten.
What's the worst thing you've ever eaten?
Cow lung, which was basically a hexagonal, rubberised pile of innards. Horrible.
And contractually, how much of it do you have to eat?
All of it. I've eaten a handful of rooster's testicles, and they are served by the handful. That's the correct measurement, is a handful. Or a punnet, if you want to be posh. A punnet of testes.
Yeah, I've had those at Wimbledon, then.
You ever had scorpions? They're good. Whole deep-fried scorpions. You can get them in Beijing.
And also
it's
Glasgow.
It's a very exciting moment, because you know it's dead, but even so, there's a moment when you pick it up and you're about to put it in a hole and you just hesitate a second or, in fact, several minutes.
What does it taste like?
Lovely, tangy.
Really?
Yeah. Well, especially when you get to the tail. It's very good, yeah.
You eat the tail?
Eat the whole thing.
But isn't there venom in the tail, or am I being naive?
Not when you deep fry it, no.
Goes out of the sauce, it's not
a patch on a nice turnip, but it's...
It's a sort of scorpion tempura, I suppose, if you were trying to jazz it up for a menu.
It's like bull's pizzle, you know, the sort of thing you want to try once, just so you can say you've had it.
Whereas do you know what? I don't want to try that once.
Thanks to the need to tighten our belts, the turnip and other thrifty foodstuffs are making a comeback. Turnips are cheaper than parsnips and don't have the drawback of carrots, such as flavour. 2 points to Sue. Andy, who's been given immunity from bugging their mates?
Bedbugs apparently have evolved an internal organ that protects them from sexually infected diseases.
Female bedbugs?
Yeah, and for reasons which I could not follow, they think it might provide the key to finding a cure for malaria.
It's because
of the male's behaviour, isn't it?
Yeah, the male doesn't use the normal procedure for fertilising. The male bedbug
happens to have it in anywhere.
He has a very sharp appendage.
So he's got a needle appendage and punctures the female.
He just stabs her with it.
In the abdomen?
Well, anywhere.
Well, yeah. In that area.
She needs to protect herself.
And she can't escape because he does it just after she's had a huge meal and her size has expanded by 30%.
You men are all the same.
And do you know what? He'd also, at work, he'd get paid twice what she gets.
Because he stabs it in her stomach and then his seed, or whatever bed bugs have, makes its way down through her innards to get to the proper place.
But you'd think that says evolution is a bit of a rum-do, because it wouldn't have been better to evolve a male that didn't stab the female with a dirty winkle.
And did it.
On the other hand, creationists have an awful lot to explain. What kind of deity would come up with that? And then when I've done zebras, I'm going to create this funny little insect. What he's going to do come mating time?
I think he's bored because there's very little variety in his life. He keeps saying, couldn't we do it on the kitchen table or somewhere else for a change? She said, no, it's got to be in bed.
What kind of self-respecting man-bug only is interested in stabbing an obese ladybug who's just had a tea who's riddled with syphilis? I mean, it doesn't make any sense.
I suppose it's all for me.
Well, he probably talks to her a bit first.
Yeah.
Maybe he pays for the meal.
Yeah. Can we talk to her saying, did you enjoy your dinner? Did you enjoy your dinner? Don't look now. And she's going...
How different from the home life of Nick Clegg. That's all I can say.
Bugs. So getting into bed tonight is going to be a whole different ball game.
I'm not getting into bed, I tell you.
Apparently, female bedbugs have an organ which holds a reservoir of white blood cells, acting as a first line of defence against sexually transmitted infections. And this unique organ could eventually help in the battle against malaria.
So when the bedbugs bite, how do you know you're not being made pregnant by a male bedbug?
You don't know that. That could be happening, Jim.
Would explain that slight chafing you were talking about earlier.
And a cross-eyed look of wonderment.
That was thought for the day.
Anyway, 2 points there to Andy. Before we reveal the final scores, let's hear the cuttings the teams have brought along, Mr. Ween.
Sandy. A word of thanks to the Reverend Alicia Petty, no less, for sending this in from the Long Eaton Advertiser. A man from Long Eaton would like to thank the people who came to his aid when he collapsed because of an ear infection. The bus driver and a man who could only be recalled as having his arm in a sling helped him off the bus and leant him against the funeral directors.
Sue.
It's an advert which reads thus. Soccer ball, signed by either Pelé, the former Brazilian soccer player, widely renowned by most experts and fans to be the finest player that has ever existed, or by some guy named Peter. $75.
Jeremy.
This was sent in by Andrew Rollison, and it's from the BBC News website from June. Blue Peter presenter Connie Huck has made her last appearance on the show after a run of 10 years. Huck is the 50-year-old show's longest-serving female presenter, beaten only by 1970s host John Noakes. And he always looked so nice, didn't he?
Andy.
This is from Paul White of Horsington in Somerset. It's from The Times, 1st of July, 2008. A man who tried to gas himself but then changed his mind and lit a cigarette, causing an explosion, has been convicted of arson. He was given a 12-month community service order at Newport Crown Court, an order to take an enhanced thinking skills course.
Right, let's take a look at the final score. Francis and Sue have got 12 points, but this week's winners are Jeremy and Andy with 13. And before we leave you, here is an advert from the Macclesfield Express sent in by Janine Burkett.
Macclesfield Chiropractic Clinic is looking for a receptionist. Must be flexible.
And with that, goodbye.
Taking part in the news quiz were Francis Ween, Sue Perkins, Jeremy Hardy and Andy Hamilton. In the chair was Sandy Toksvig and the news was read by me, Peter Donaldson. The chair's script was written by Simon Littlefield, Roderick Crooks and Stephen Carlin, with additional material by James Sherwood and Alistair Griggs. The producer was Ed Morrish. Thank you.